everyone that will hear this message, and has been hearing what God has been saying to us over these last months, and on the goodness of God. I think it's revolutionizing all of our thinking. And by the anointing on the Apostle Todd's life, it's just changing how we view everything. And this message on goodness is about the image of God, as Apostle said. It's God showing us himself. When we get the mind of God, we get the image of God, and therefore are transformed into his image ourselves. Tonight, I want to bring a case study. The case study is actually going to be about me, but there's going to be scripture that's going to be implemented in backing what God did for me. And so I want to really try to present this in a way that it's not only something that testifies of what God, the goodness of God in my life and how he healed me, but something that I pray we all can relate to and certainly see our Lord from this perspective. We'll start with the title of the message is the truth that sets us free is in the Father's house. The truth that sets us free is in our Father's house. So,
Amen. Amen.
let's begin. I just want to tell you really quickly how this has all come about to me. It starts from my bringing up. When we were children, Apostle Todd, I mean, everybody probably knows. If you don't know, he's my brother, and as biological brother, as well as he is my brother in Christ. And my mom is on the line, Elder Donna. And we grew up in our family church in New Jersey. And the church was and is or was a Pentecostal church. It's now, I believe, a non-denom. But when we grew up, if anybody understands and knows anything about Pentecostal churches, there's a lot of law, there's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of growing up under a works mentality. And that's how we grew up. So we grew up hearing a lot about what we could do and what we could not do. And this would frame my relationship with God. How I saw God growing up, even as I went astray, and even as I went out and did things that were not of God. And then, as we made our return back in our 20s to the Lord, an apostle was given the ministry, and we started it together. A lot of the same framing of my mind and how I saw God was still in play. It was still a major influence how I would walk with God. I would fall short of a lot of things. I'd be in and out of my relationship and doing good and then falling into sin and doing good. And so this message is going to be about how the goodness of God, how God affected my mind agreeably to bring me out of the law and self-effort
Amen.
and into
Amen.
his grace.
Bless
Hallelujah.
God.
And so as I was saying, knowing that my mind was a big part of this, how I saw God, how I saw righteousness, how I saw the evil that I would do because of the law or the right thing that the scriptures talked about, would totally reveal my heart and my how I imagined. And I didn't realize this. I didn't realize that I was dealing with something that I would discover later on, which was my imagination. And I asked God a question. I said, God, I said, what is the remedy? I said, what is the remedy? Because here it is, I'm constantly walking with you, and I'm realizing that I'm doing what the word says, but then I'm falling short. And then I'm realizing what the word of God says again about the thing I fell short in. And then I would try to do good. I would be in my own efforts. I would want to be pleasing to God. And then I would fall again. Which leads me to my first scripture in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. The scripture says, and thank you, Elder Alley. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looked on us and saw the evil. This is before the law. This is before anyone understood what their sin was. But God saw that the things that men were doing were not the things that God had wanted men to do, or the things that should have been affecting their mind agreeably with him. So man, as I did, I was wanting to do good, but the imagination of my heart was only evil continually. You see, that was my problem. I wanted to do good, but the mind, you can see in the scripture that the heart is comprised of our imagination. It's comprised of our thoughts. And what was in my heart, the imaginations and the thoughts in my heart were evil, even though I understood what the Bible said was good, was right. But I could not do it. I couldn't understand. And so again, I asked God the question, what was the remedy? And before I get to that answer, I want us to understand how the law would be introduced. The law was something that would be a part of this for me, because to see what was right and to see what was good, to see what was pure, to read it in the scriptures, and to understand that I had the fear of God. I wanted to do good. I wanted to live right. And I thought that by reading the scriptures and trying to do what was right, I was, in a sense, earning my salvation, though I understood that Jesus Christ had died. But it didn't seem to be enough to know that. So I would work it out. I would be in my own efforts constantly, trying to work out my salvation that way, which leads us to the next scripture I want to introduce. It's Romans chapter 7, verse number 13, 11 through 13. I'm sorry. Now watch this. This is a perfect description in the scriptures of what I'm talking about. It says, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. What was happening to me was the more I thought about what the word said not to do, was the more I gave thought to the sin that I was doing. So the law was exposing my sin, but it was making it clear that this was in my heart. And because it was in my heart, all I could see was my sin and that I was missing God's mark. And how I would view God was, I would view God as a tyrant. I felt like he was angry with me whenever I would miss that mark, whenever I would fall into that sin, see, my mind was not affected agreeably with the gospel. My imagining was so full of what the law said was right, but I didn't understand how it was making my sin, emphasizing my sin in my heart to make me actually sin more. What do I mean? I was thinking about it so much that I'd fall into it. And then I would think that God was condemning me, that God was angry with me, that God was going to pour out his wrath upon me in any moment. I was thinking that one minute he loved me when I was doing things right and I was maintaining my walk. And then when I fail, I thought that he expelled me. He had cast me off, that I would. And then one day after doing it time and time again, I would think that God was going to totally expel me from his presence. See, sin was becoming more sinful by the law in my own heart and causing me to do the thing I didn't want to do. And again, I would go to God. I would ask what the remedy was. I still at times got no answer. I'd gotten no answer. I remember confessing to one of my brothers in the Lord, and he told me a testimony how the power of God had rescued him from one of the things I struggled in. And as he testified that the power of God saved him, I said, man, I want that. I want the power of God to bring me out of this. And all of these words were leading up to what God was going to do in 2011, 2012, when I was in Maine. But before I go into that, I asked God a question last night. I said, why did you give us the law? And what is it about the law that makes it what it is, that it does what it does? And he gave me his answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel would not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse number 9. It says, for if the ministration of condemnation, there was my answer.
There it is, right there.
It's condemnation. It only brings you to a place of feeling condemned, even by God. And that was what it was meant for. It was meant so that we, and I'm not going to, this message on goodness is so powerful that it tied into my testimony so powerfully. But the law was presented because it would minister condemnation. But if the ministry of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Jesus, that's talking about the goodness of God. Having your mind affected agreeably is the ministration of righteousness. But let me read on. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So here it is. I am being condemned by this and not understanding what I really needed at the time, because I still was asking the question in my heart, what is the remedy, God? What is the remedy? And all of a sudden in 2012, as I continue my walk with the Lord, I'm in my grandmother's basement or the bottom of her home. And I'm just talking to God, and I'm in a place, and all of a sudden I have an encounter with the Lord, an encounter that would change my entire life. This encounter was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God saying to me, in my heart, in the place of my imagining, the place where I only saw myself missing the mark of God and constantly feeling condemned, my mind not being affected in agreement with God, all of a sudden, the only one that could affect my mind comes in and says, Daryl, this is not about anything you can do to save yourself or make yourself righteous. He then opened my heart and my mind to the cross, and he showed me Jesus on the cross receiving the blows for me, for the things that I had been feeling condemned about. He showed me condemnation in Jesus. He showed me, he opened my heart, and he allowed me to see that, Daryl, it's not about show works. You see, my son did all of the work. You don't have to do anything for me to accept you. You don't have to do anything for you to be saved. You are saved the moment you put your faith in what I'm showing you now. And from that day on, God showed me how valuable I was to him. How valuable. I saw it, because here it was, when I would miss the mark, he knew that I felt invaluable. But only time I felt valuable to God was when I was doing something right in my own efforts. But here comes God. He affected my mind agreeably to see how valuable. He said, Daryl, don't you realize that I gave my son because I wanted you? I put him and the works that he did to accept you.
Amen.
And to bring you in so that you would understand there is therefore now no condemnation. Now I know without a shadow of a doubt, my mind was affected agreeably. The truth set me free. The truth that's in our Father's house, it set me free from ever thinking again that I, number one, would be condemned by God. And number two, that I was not righteous. But I was made righteous. Why? Because everything, I found out that same day that everything that Jesus did, all of his obedience from the day he was born to the day he died, all of that obedience now, that blood, the Bible says in Numbers 23:19, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I realized that the blood, the very life, the obedience of Christ now covered me. And I saw myself as God sees his own son. My mind was so affected. He healed it from every bit of dis-ease of me trying to work it out myself and feeling condemned. He delivered me from disease and the effect of my mind wanting to be accepted of God and letting me know you are covered in the very life. Every part of you is covered in the life of my son, Jesus, all of his obedience, because you put your faith and your trust in him and accepted what he did for you rather than what you thought you could do for you. And now I see you like I see him. He so affected my mind, agreeably.
Amen.
And then I asked him the question last night. I said, Lord, then why the law? He said, Daryl, because what I use the law for, listen to this, people of God. He said, what I use the law for is so that people can know. You hear that people say all the time that the law could never save you, and that's what it was meant for. The law was to expose your sin. Yes, but the law was meant for more than that. The law was meant to bring you and I into the goodness of God. The law was meant to show you that in and with your own mind, and it not being affected agreeably, but under condemnation and under scrutiny and under the feeling that you are not one with God, that you would need the goodness of God. We would need that. And when I went back, if you will, Elder Ali, I know this is out of order, but if you will go back to Romans 7, verse number 13, I want to read that again, because this is where it came for me last night. As I was studying this, it says, "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin." This was what was happening. The law was exposing more of my heart and showing me whom I was and letting me see who I was and what I could not be without my mind affected agreeably. It said, "But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful," meaning all the time I was under the law, the whole time.
Wow.
What it was doing to me was making me see what I could never be of myself. Paul said in Romans, in the same chapter, he said, "The thing that I would do, I do not. The thing that I would not do, I do." Then later on, he goes on to say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He says, "Oh, thanks be to God and his goodness. He will." Anytime I'm thinking about my sin, I can run back to and rely on the person of God in Christ, who will always bring me out by affecting my mind agreeably. You see, this is so weighty. The law has its purpose, and it's working its purpose to lead us to our true salvation, to the truth that can set us free, that's in our Father's house. It's meant to push us to say, "God, what can I do?" "Oh, there's a good question, my son, my daughter. What can you do? Nothing. You can do nothing. I'm the only one that can do it. I'm the only one that can save you. I'm the only one that can put my mind on you and show you how I think." Because if you're going to continue to think the way you're thinking, then you're going to become what you're thinking. Proof in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. I'm just going to read part A. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You see, that was what was happening to me. As I was thinking in my heart, as I was under the law, I was falling into what I was thinking about. The law only kept me thinking about my sinful nature. And so what was the outcome? The sinful thing that I was thinking about. "For as he thinketh in his heart," but oh, when the goodness of God got into my heart, changed my mind. My mind was affected with God's mind about condemnation, about what makes me righteous. I no longer fell into that trap and sin and condemnation. Now, have I fallen short? Yes. But have I always got back to where the Spirit of the Lord is? Absolutely. Because the Spirit of the Lord is the mind of the Lord.
Amen.
And his job is to keep us in the mind of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he does it so well. He does it so well. "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do we think about? So it goes back to when we studied that out, that God knows our frame. That's why he perfects that which concerns us, because he knows our frame. He knows our imagining. He knows, and so he affects our minds agreeably with the truth that's in his house. To heal our minds, to heal. Elder Ali spoke it so beautifully in her case study about Paul. Because Paul was fluctuating at a time, saw himself as the least of the apostles, and then all of a sudden his mind is affected agreeably. See, the danger is when your mind has been affected. Watch this. God said, "I use the law to affect your mind, not agreeably with mine, but to affect your mind with your sin. So you can ask me to save you with my goodness, with my truth. So you can ask me Hallelujah. And what this comes down to is God putting his very person, his very image on us. That's what we get every, see, because you cannot separate the word and the goodness of God. You cannot separate the word then and his image, because the Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So every time we get the goodness of God, the mind of God, we're getting his image. Why? Because the whole thing was from the beginning to make man in his image and after his likeness. And if I know that the Bible says he's come to redeem us, there had to be a deeming. What does the word deeming mean? It means to consider or regard something in a specified, or someone in a specified way. To consider or to regard someone or something in a specified way. God deemed us, considered us, regarded us in a specified way. But when he said, let us make men in our image and after our likeness, I asked him a question. I said, God, why is it that you call us free from sin? And free, he said, because Daryl, because when you're in sin, you're not in the liberty to be what I made you to be. Because as you think in your heart, so are you. And if you can't see my image, you can't experience and do not experience my goodness, your mind being affected agreeably with mine, you cannot walk in the fullness of what I deemed you. So I redeemed you. Now I call you sons and daughters again, after my likeness, in my image. And how do I do it? By the truth that's in my house, by your mind being affected agreeably. And I'm just going to prove it real quick in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Listen, watch this. Watch this. With the law, look at this. For the law, having a shadow of things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Because God's mind on your mind about it is in Christ Jesus, in all that he fulfilled, all that he completed. He ain't thinking about your sin anymore. He says, in those days, I will put my laws in your heart, and on your minds will I write them, and your sins and your iniquities will I, God, remember no more.
It's really powerful.
So how are you, if you're in the mind of God, remembering your sin? Are you under the law, which is meant to expose and reveal your heart, to keep you in a place of condemnation? Or are you under the shadow of the thing? Or are you getting the very image, which is the goodness of God, every time we hear it? The very image of the thing is the goodness of God, your mind being affected agreeably by the truth that sets you free, that's in our Father's house.
My God, my God, my God.
Oh, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 1,
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 1, 1 through 3 explains it again real quickly. I'll read that. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I love what it says going down in verse 3, but whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Every time we hear the goodness of God, we're getting the expressed image of his person, the rhema, the truth, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person is every time it's what you're hearing right now. What you're under right now is the brightness of his person and the express, I mean, the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. It's what we're hearing right now. He's right here in the midst of us. Truth is right here.
Amen.
In you, as we learned earlier.
Amen.
Every time. Now, as I go on in my all my days, every day, I know there's a knowing that never quits. The Spirit of the Lord, who is like that, like we talked about earlier, the candelabra, which had the three lights on either side pointing to the middle, and the middle one straight up and down, always connected to the Father, it was always filled with oil. It never ran out. The oil never ran out. The oil never stopped flowing. The oil never stops flowing. And because of that, I always see myself as the righteousness of God. Now, my mind is constantly affected in agreement with God about who I am. I am not condemned. And because I'm not condemned, I have no more a heart that imagines like it used to under the law. And therefore, I have sinned less and less and less until sin cease. Why? Because it's all finished in Christ. It's done.
Amen.
And I know it.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to encourage everyone to see how God affects our minds to the point of healing them from a self-effort, from a way of trying to do things on our own without him, especially his great salvation. And I know his great salvation is being worked out and being demonstrated, but I'm talking about an understanding that you know no matter what, you are his righteousness and that the Father is not condemning you. Yeah. And I would just want to prove it through one more story, and I'm going to close John chapter 8. I just want to read this story to you because my testimony is in this story. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us, here it is now, reflecting on sin, keeping the condemnation apparent and very prevalent in the moment. It says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Watch how he uses the law to do what it's meant to do, even to the point of them dropping their stones. He convicts them of their sin by the law. He says, this then they say, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. See, there's the law emphasizing on their hearts, so that they could see only themselves. This is how great, and he affected their mind agreeably with this. He let them see their own self. And again, it says in verse 8, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. In verse 9, it says, and they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience, you see, went out one by one. That's what the law does. It convicts, but they left the one. Unfortunately, they left the one who could affect their mind in another way. It says they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord, and many of you heard me say this before. I believe that's a question mark. For me, that's what it is. Because she understood who was there to have affected their minds. This was no mere man. This was God's son. And the moment Jesus affects her mind agreeably by saying, and Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. You see, when the truth of what God is saying about a matter, when the truth about what God has to say about condemnation, what his mind, when it gets on your mind, you can walk away from your sin, because there's nothing that comes by way of the law to keep the impression of your sin on your heart.
Hallelujah.
So that when your thinking is in line with God's thinking, so that you can be free from your sin with the mind of God, with what's in our Father's house. No more condemnation. That's what he's saying. That's the Father's mind. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. It's not found in trying to work this out, but this message on our minds being affected agreeably is necessary. And the law was sent to do just that, to show us that there was no way that by it being a shadow of the thing could ever make us perfect. What makes us perfect is the truth that's in our Father's house. What makes us perfect is us having the mind of our Father. That is my case study. May God bless our minds continually with his mind. He saved me. I never knew what salvation was until that day. I never knew how powerful the cross was until that day. I thought I had to add something to it when I was doing it on my own, and that was because my mind was not affected agreeably by the truth that's in our Father's house.
Hallelujah.
But he did it. When I asked him what the remedy was, he gave me my answer by affecting my mind with it. To this day, and this was, now we're talking about 12 years ago, nobody can tell me I'm not the righteousness of God, because it's not my own righteousness that makes me righteous. It's the righteousness of God in Christ that made me righteous. He chose me. He chose you. You are chosen. When your mind has been affected agreeably, you are chosen.
Amen.
That's all Apostle God.
You know, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is found in all goodness. And when God affects our minds agreeably, the Bible says also that those that are joined unto him are one spirit. And what you experience there, and what you're causing others to come into a flow of that, is becoming one with him and becoming equal to who he is and under his righteousness. But it's all about where your mind is. The enemy can only hold us in a place of bondage by cod blocking what God has to say about us,
mm-hmm.
and what God is truly thinking about us. Oftentimes we miss miracles, signs, and wonders because we don't know how God feels about us.
Yep.
But when that's lifted by such a message as tonight, such as case study, he used himself as a case study. And while you were speaking, evangelist, the Lord told me, he told me this. He said, cause them tonight, and everybody that's under the sound of my voice, I want you to do this. Think about when the word of God affects your mind agreeably, and think about how God causes you to feel There is no condemnation in that. There's only an uplift.
Amen.
There's only a surge of assurance, of faith and hope. There is nothing else. There is no, therefore now, no condemnation. When God affects your mind, if God was trying to affect your mind and condemn you, then that's what you would feel. But when we hear the Rhema word, God affects our minds, and we get this reassurance.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That we are delivered, we are free, we are healed, we are whole. Hope comes alive. That's because there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Everybody on the line with me tonight, do the exercise and realize when a rhema hits your spirit, how does God cause you to feel? Do you feel condemnation? No. You feel washed, cleansed, healed.
Hallelujah.
The evidence is right there. We're not under the law in terms of condemnation. But by the rhema word of God, we're under the goodness of God. Goodwill towards men comes alive. Not this place of bondage, uncertainty. But you think about it in your mind's eye and in your mind's ear. When God blesses you with his word, how alive do you feel? How delivered do you feel? And the Lord said, do that exercise and recognize that the truth in which we heard tonight is absolute. There is now, therefore, no condemnation.
Hallelujah.
But the only way you're going to know that is by imbibing. When God affects your mind agreeably, imbibe what takes place right after that. Just one word sets you absolutely free. I think your case study was really awesome, Evangelist. And you were wide open to bless us and to bring us into places of healing. And I don't know which person on the line might be going through a place where they're uncertain about their salvation, uncertain about whether God will release the content of his house. Well, if this rhema has built your confidence, then your answer is right before you. God is right there with you, not condemning you, not holding you accountable in terms of what you've done. Jesus was held accountable for our mistakes.
Yes. Come on, Apostle.
He was held accountable.
Yeah,
and all the weight of our error was on him. There is no condemnation. There is nothing else but your deliverance, your healing, your blessing, your restoration is right here. It's right now. If your mind is being touched by the word of God, then your answer is right there before you. He said it like this. It was real simple. He said, what's the difference if I tell you your sins are forgiven or to take up your bed and walk? They're both the same. If I forgive your sins, if I affect your mind agreeably to the fact that your sins are forgiven, then the rest of your life is healed too. Take up your bed and walk. There's no difference. If I can touch you to make you realize I'm not holding you in condemnation, then the rest of the contents of my house are flowing just as easy into your life. How awesome is our God? How great is his goodness? Great job, Evangelist. Great job. Great job. Glory be to God. For you to see the transition of all your past mistakes and your deliverance as being when God caused you to understand and agree with how he sees you through his goodness. There's no better case study than that. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. There's no greater test. There's no greater.
God.
Amen.
Everybody should be an overcomer right now. Everybody should be
yes.
feeling a place of worthiness to receive of the benevolence, of the goodness of God. Everybody on the line should be feeling that way right this very moment.
God, to know. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And that's what God's mission was for us tonight. For everyone on the line to know, there is therefore no condemnation. If I affected your mind, if I quickened you, not even just tonight, but one time in between you and your mistake, if I cause you to come alive with hope, then you understand there is no condemnation to you. Don't let the devil weigh you back and forth. There is no boxing match here. He's knocked out. He's already finished. It's not an up and down thing. It's already finished. It's over. You're free.
Come on.
That's what God is saying. That's what I heard tonight.
Amen.
So receive from what God has already done. Receive it without any question. Be fully persuaded that God is saying yea and amen to your request. And I'm so serious about this. Boy, oh boy, man, the curse and the weight of sin has been broken.
Yes.
That's why we don't receive our miracles. Because sin likes to try to sit there in a recessed place to tell you you're not worthy. But God says tonight, you are worthy because of my son. I deem you worthy. Stop trying to pay the price. Stop trying to iron out your wrinkles. Stop trying to scrub out your spots. Jesus already did it. Just lift your hands and receive freely. There is an instant manifestation for somebody on this line right now. Just lift your hands and receive freely. The contents of your Father's house are laid at your feet.
Hallelujah.
And your Father is there picking up what's at your feet and handing it to you. He's serving you. You're in the right place. You're in position. Without question, you're in the right place and right position to receive your miracle. The time is now. You're in the place of Kairos. You're in the right place of due season. The Lord told me to tell you, there is no delay on your breakthrough. There is no delay on your miracle. There's no delay. Just receive it freely. Just like when they approached him, every time they approached him and they brought their crumbs to him. They brought what they knew about him. When they approached him, they were able to receive. Approach him with this mindset. Lord, you set me free. Lord, you're carrying the weight of my sin. Approach him right.
Hallelujah.
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 Please come to him right, in the right mindset. That's a part of the faith in which we live. If you never know, and I'm closing with this, if you don't know Jesus really paid it all, you'll never be able to receive and live by the contents of your Father's house. If you come into the house thinking you owe God something, you're in the wrong house. Because I'm an earthly father, and being earthly, I still give good gifts. Matt doesn't owe me nothing for the things that I get to supply for the house. It's already here for him. And God is saying the same thing for you. It's already here for you. You don't owe me nothing for the groceries I bought. You don't owe me nothing for the healing that Jesus bought. You don't owe me nothing for the deliverance Jesus bought.
Hallelujah.
It's already paid for.
Yes, Lord. God owns
the truth that sets us free is in the Father's house. Please don't take this as another just a fly by night or another Thursday night. Please take this, imbibe this. The Spirit of God is trying to open our eyes to the truth and let him do just that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Don't let it just pass you by, all right?
Amen.
To the glory of God, don't let it just pass you by. I'm taking this, I'm running with this. I know exactly where evangelist was coming from, and I'm not trying to stretch this, but the enemy tries to recess this, man, and condemn us. Then what was the purpose of the cross? What was the purpose of Jesus dying? If we can be held in a place of condemnation for the things in which we've done and not live by the contents of our Father's house because of our mistakes, what was the purpose of what he did?
Jeez, come on.
What is the purpose? If we've got to prove ourselves, hold ourselves in a place of accountability and integrity, Jesus was accountable, and Jesus was the one being integrous. Just receive. Those people that approached him, that were healed, that had a crumb about who he was, did not straighten their lives out prior to approaching him, to receive from him. They simply believed on the Son of David. They did not try to correct their wrongdoings. The man said, Lord, I believe, but please help me with my unbelief. He did not straighten himself out to get his son delivered from that devil that was vexing him. He simply believed who Jesus was. Receive this truth tonight. Let the Lord affect your mind agreeably with the fact that he really paid it all.
Hallelujah.
Stop trying to square your shoulders and show yourself as a real righteous servant of the Most High God, and sit your butt down and receive what Jesus has done. It was by him and only by him. And let him be the Emmanuel. Let him be the one that is all salvation. Let him do it. But don't let a cod block you from your miracle because you don't feel like you're there yet. He's there. He's already there. And you need to receive that. Yeah, I got a real relationship with him. Because when I fail, I get up and I run to him, and he never rejects me. He invites me in. The Holy Spirit cleans me off and says, let's keep it moving, Todd. Let's go. and he doesn't deny me. The only one that saved us was him. Amen. I'm done. Evangelist, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I pray your minds have been affected agreeably so that you can live by the contents of the Father's house. The truth is that Jesus paid it all. So please receive the truth that's set for us, that set us free, and it's set in stone forever. And it's right there.
Hallelujah.
It's right there. There's nothing else we got to do. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen, evangelist. Praise God. Snaps up to you, bro. Snaps up. Snaps up. Snaps up. Snaps up. Snaps up.
Thank you,
Lord. Yes, Lord. If you have a seed you'd like to sow, you can